Lord, just thank you for letting us be here and just being in your word, God. I just pray that as we talk about spiritual gifts, God, that you would just make known to us what our gifts are if we don't know, and just encourage us to use them if we do know what they are, Lord. And just speak to us during this time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So 1 Corinthians 12, like I said, is about spiritual gifts. And basically, if you guys remember, Corinthians, basically the church wrote Paul a letter, and here's just another topic he's covering. But we'll start with verse 1. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now this is a phrase he actually uses quite a bit. I don't want you to be ignorant. Like, I want you guys to listen up, understand this area of doctrine. So it's a phrase that Paul used several times in his letters, generally concerning areas of doctrine where people would have the most questions. Other areas that he used the same phrase were when he was speaking about Old Testament typology, which is relating Old Testament and New Testament, and that's in 1 Corinthians 10. The rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The tactics of Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the future of Israel in Romans 11. So those are all areas where he said, I want you not to be ignorant. I want you to know this stuff, you know, so there's no confusion about it. And then going on to verses 2 and 3. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he's addressing a rumor that went around back in his day that if you were praying in tongues, that you could unknowingly curse Jesus. And he's basically addressing that. It's like, if you're praying in tongues, it's by the Spirit. You can't curse Jesus when you're praying in the Spirit. And at the same time, you can't confess to know Jesus if you don't have the Spirit in you. So it's another thing of salvation. If you can confess and you believe that Jesus is Christ, that he died and rose again for your sins, that's by the Spirit. You know, you have the Spirit in you. So, and verses 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works all in all. So, there's multiple gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. And there's multiple, it's not saying there's multiple gods, it's just saying there's different gifts. So it's not like, okay, there's one God over this gift, another God over this gift. There's just one God, and all gifts are from Him, even if they are different from one another. In verse 6, where it says operations, basically operations translated in Greek is agerma, which means the word energize, which will make sense in just a little bit. But basically, we see in verse 4, different gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, different ministries, but the same Jesus. And verse 6, diversities of activities, but the same God. So gifts are linked to the Spirit, ministries to the Son, and operations by the Father. So, and then in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we see the gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. And every Christian, if you're part of the body, you have a gift. And the gift is given by the Spirit, and then the ministry by the Son. So you use that gift within a ministry, and then it's energized by the Father. So ministries are also listed in Ephesians 4. When there's five listed, there's the ministry of being an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, you might hear that list and be like, well, I'm not in any of those. I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet or an evangelist, I'm definitely not a teacher, or I'm not a pastor. But you just have to look how they're used in the Word and look at different examples. I know for a long time I'm like, oh, I'm not any of these, so where do I fit in? But like an example is, say you see somebody who's struggling, say with substance abuse, or their parents are getting separated or something like that. And you've been through something similar, and you come alongside them and say, hey, let's meet up once a week. We'll just chat, you know, we'll see where you're at. You know, I just you know, we'll talk, encourage you, you know, show you what the Word says. Basically, that person would have the gift of mercy. They'd be seeing a person who's struggling. They'd come alongside them, and they would be acting as a pastor. And all a pastor is someone who shepherds another person. It doesn't mean that you're ahead of a church. That's how we often think of it. We think, okay, Pastor Bo, Pastor Peter, Pastor Scott. It doesn't mean you're over a church necessarily. It just means you're shepherding other people. Those guys are just doing it like a broader scheme with multiple people. So you can even be a pastor over one person at a time where you're just shepherding that person. So another example would be, say, an older woman comes alongside a younger woman and helps her learn how to navigate marriage and child rearing based upon insights she's found in the Word. She's actually functioning as a teacher. So that's just another example. You know, it's not like you have to be up teaching the Word to a bunch of different people. But even if you got somebody else and you see, oh, you know what, I just have a word of insight to give to them. I was just reading this and, you know, God really put this on my heart to share this with you. You could be teaching them. So gifts and ministries come quite naturally, and they're things that God is doing in and through us. Those who exercise their gifts will find ministries opened up to them. And like the ministries, again, are apostleship. An apostle is one who's sent out and from some area or situation to share the reality of Jesus Christ. A prophet is someone who shares words of edification, exhortation, and comfort at precisely the right time in exactly the right way. So if you guys have ever had somebody come up to you and say you're just having a rough day, and somebody just comes up to you and says something that's totally just encouraging, it's something you just needed to hear right at that exact moment, they're acting as a prophet in your life. Just sharing God's word and just, you know, that exhortation, that encouragement. So evangelism, one who simply shares the Lord wherever he goes. I don't know if you guys have met him, Pete LaJoy. He used to serve with Bo back in the day, very similar to Bo, just kind of really crazy, outgoing, California kind of guy. I used to hang out with Pete, he's my youth pastor, and we just go like to McDonald's or something like that, and people are like, oh, is that a Bible? He's like, yeah, it's the living word, you know, like, it's just crazy and out there, but then all of a sudden, they're just listening, and they're like, you know, he was just sharing the gospel with them. And it's like everywhere this guy went, I'm like, man, this guy's got the gift of evangelism. And if you guys ever meet him, it's just crazy out there. You always hear the gospel coming from him. So, pastor, one who comes alongside people to partner with them in their spiritual growth. So that's what, like, Scott, Bo, Peter, that's what all these guys do. Just coming along, you know, reading the word to you guys, you know, teaching you. And teacher is one who shares truth with others. Like the example of one woman sharing with a younger woman just insights of the word about marriage or anything. So obviously that applies across a lot of different things. So once again, gifts are given by the Spirit, ministries are opened up by the Son, and then everything is energized by the Father. So God not only wants to give us gifts and ministries to use them in, but he also wants to energize what we're doing. So he wants to bless what we're doing so we go out and be effective for the kingdom. All right, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the word manifestation basically just means to make known. So the gifts, ministries, and operations are not made known to us so we can profit for ourselves, but so we can go out and bless others. So you look at the guys like the TV evangelists and stuff like that, you know, they're trying to reap in money for themselves and a new jumbo jet or something, you know. That's not what gifts are for. You know, you don't see people with the gifts of healing going to the hospital and just healing everybody for money. It's not what it's meant for. It's for the edification of the body. And then just go on 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. So here he's just going over the different operations, which we'll just go into each one of them. The first one being words of wisdom. It's a supernatural ability to answer questions or solve a problem. Like when an example of that would be, does anybody remember the story of the two women who brought a child before Solomon, King Solomon? And he's like, hey, this is my baby. Anybody remember what happened? Yeah, well, basically the whole story was these two women brought a kid before him, and they're both saying, no, this is my kid, no, it's my kid. And one woman's like, well, no, like she rolled over on her kid last night and suffocated him, so she stole my baby in the night. So Solomon, and just God-given wisdom, is like, all right, so I'm going to get me a sword. Let's cut this kid in half. You can each have half. And one's like, okay, sounds good to me. And the other one's like, no, give her the kid, give her the kid. Yeah, it's the Bible. It's in there. But basically, through that wisdom that God gave Solomon, obviously the woman who's like, no, just let her have a kid, it was her kid. She wouldn't want her own kid to die. So the word of knowledge, knowledge derives supernaturally. Like Acts 5:3-4, how Peter knew that Ananias was lying. So you guys remember Ananias and Sapphira? You know, they had sold a field, and they had told Peter, we're giving you all the money. And when in reality, they were keeping a little bit back. So verse 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, wasn't it not your own? And after it was sold, wasn't it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but God. How did Peter know? Peter had no way of knowing, just from his own self, that Ananias had kept any of the money behind. But it was a word of knowledge given to Peter at that time, saying, hey, he's withheld some of the money. That's just one example of that. And we have faith. And every believer has faith to some extent, otherwise we wouldn't be saved. However, there are those who have who move supernaturally in this area of faith. And because of that exercise of faith, things happen that wouldn't otherwise happen. It's also the ability to step out in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to do something you would have never otherwise have done. And I don't know if you guys have ever had that just still small voice in the back of your head just saying, hey, like, I want you to go talk to this guy. I want you to go share Jesus with him. And part of us can just be scared. But when we step out in faith saying, okay, God's put it on my heart to go talk to this guy. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it. And sometimes crazy stuff happens. They come to know Jesus, you know. And it was just like a God-given appointment. You just got to step out in faith. Another example, this is Acts 3:11-16. It's when Peter had healed the lame man in front of the synagogue. And it says in verse 11, now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? He's like, we didn't do it. He jumped down to verse 16. It says, as his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter and John stepped out in faith when they said, hey, stand up and walk. I mean, how many of us can just go up to a person who hasn't walked maybe their entire life and just say, hey, stand up? You know, they probably laugh at you. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm in a wheelchair. You know, I'm my legs don't work. I can't walk, you know. But Peter and John in that moment felt led by the Holy Spirit to stand up and like tell this guy, hey, stand up and walk. And God did a miracle. So, and going into that, gifts of healing. The word gifts here is plural. And it's believed that it's not a gift a person just has where they can go and just use it as they will. So it's not like a person who has a gift of healing just goes to the hospital and goes room to room just healing everybody. Otherwise, we'd see that, you know, pretty commonly. I said, kind of, in my mind, I hope we would, you know. But it's something that God does supernaturally, and it's not all of the time, but it's as he wills. And it kind of also goes into the next one, which is the working of miracles. So the working of miracles and gifts of healing, as seen in the Word, were not given so we can huddle up as a church body in the sanctuary and see each other perform. So, however, it's a gift that we can use in the Great Commission. It's to go out and to evangelize. So, if you look at the gifts used in the book of Acts, the operation of miracles is most closely linked to evangelism because miracles are primarily for the unbeliever. So it's not for us. You know, if somebody's healed, it's not for our faith to be increased. It's for theirs. And a lot of times I look at Pastor Scott. He talks about his dad who was diagnosed with cancer. He was an unbeliever, an atheist. And he tells a story all the time where he's like, you know what, can I just pray for you? And his dad's like, sure. So he prays for him, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple weeks later, he gets a phone call. He's like, you won't believe this, the cancer's gone. And through that, he became a believer. So it wasn't for Scott, but it was for Scott's dad. So, and in the same way, it's, like I said, it's not for us to increase our own faith. I don't know, has anybody ever had the thought like me, like, oh man, if I could just see miracles, I would just, my faith would soar. I would just believe so much more. I was like, I've thought that, you know, but it's proven that that's not exactly right, because you look at like the book of Exodus and Numbers, and you have the Israelites who saw countless miracles. You know, they were leaving Egypt, God parts the Red Sea, he delivered manna to them every morning from heaven. They were directed by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know, they were bitten by poisonous snakes, miraculously healed. These are all different examples, but after everything, they were told you couldn't enter the promised land. And it was because of their unbelief. So after seeing everything, they still didn't believe. You know, they still had hard hearts and wanted to trust in themselves more than God. So then we have prophecy. And prophecy isn't so much telling the future, but rather forth-telling God's heart. So if you look at the word and you look at prophecy is laid out, it's not like, hey, it's going to be a prophecy. You know, it wasn't so much random. It was more so God saying, this is my heart. It's like saying how Jesus was going to come. It was, you know, it's all prophetic word. Jesus is coming to save you guys. There's a Savior coming. You look at other prophecies. They're all God just kind of telling his heart. This is where my heart is for you guys. You guys are going to go into bondage. You know, talk about the Babylonians coming in and taking all the Israelites out. It's like, I don't want this for you, but it's coming. So, and then discerning of spirits. Is basically, it's discerning if what we're hearing is from God, if it's demonically influenced, or if it's just straight out of man. An example of this would be, there's an area where Paul was in a town, and this woman kept coming up to him and saying, oh, like, you guys are here of God, you know, like, everything she was saying was right. And let's go to the passage. Now it happened, as he went to pray, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit. So she was a fortune teller. So she'd go out and through demonic influence she could give you a fortune. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, is there anything wrong with what she said? But was it her or was it something else? So you keep reading. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Now, what the girl was saying was right. You know, they're proclaiming Jesus and the way of salvation. But it was demonically influenced. And Paul, at that time, had the ability to know, okay, this isn't just a woman who's just crazy and whatnot. She's actually demon-possessed. So, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'll only go into this a little bit because it's really covered in chapter 14, but basically tongues is for the edification of your spirit. And for the most part, tongues is used on like just on your own terms, like if you're at home by yourself. It can be used in a body as long as there's interpretation of tongues. And whoever's teaching chapter 14 will get into that. All right, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So the ministries and gifts of the Spirit can't be bought or earned. They're just given as God wills. And God's going to give you guys all gifts. You all have a gift. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, you play a musical instrument or you can sing or you're good at something. Maybe that's just a gift of God and God can use that in some way. And I'll have an example of that in a bit. And then verse 12 through 18. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. So we're all part of the body, and everyone has a function and a role to play. Because God has placed us where He pleases, it's not up to us to change our position. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been like, oh, like, I really wish I could teach like that guy, or I could play worship like Art or Balance, you know, like, ah, yeah. But God has a different gift for us, you know. I've often thought, like, oh, man, I wish I could teach like those guys, you know, like Bo or Peter. But, you know, God's made us all different for a unique reason. He's going to use us uniquely as well. We're all going to be used differently. Okay. And then 19 through 22. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So sometimes it's the feeblest members that are used the most, or used in a completely different way. A really cool example of that I heard was of this one church. Somebody had donated an above-ground pool to them, and they were going to take it down on a mission trip to Mexico for disabled kids. And they get down to Mexico, and this pool is just in like a million different pieces. And after working on it for days, they just couldn't figure it out. So it was just kind of sitting there in a pile. And all of a sudden, this one guy from their church area, he was going to a Bible college near their church, it's up in Oregon. He's like, hey, I don't know why, but I think God's really called me to come down to your mission. I can't teach, I can't cook, I can't garden, I'm not even a child worker. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just feel called to come down there. And they're like, sure, come on down. And he gets there, and they're like, so what do you do? Like, what did you do before you went to Bible college? He's like, oh, I assembled above ground pools for 20 years. And it's just like, there you go. It all of a sudden made sense. You know, it didn't make sense at the time, but he stepped out in faith. He had what he seemed like, I can't do anything, but God used it, you know. So no matter what your talent is, what your job is, God can use it in some way, one or another. So right. 23 and 24. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts we have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So, sometimes there's people that we lift up, say pastors, worship leaders, and stuff like that. We're like, oh man, these guys are great. You know, they're used by God. And we forget the little guy, the guys behind the scene. And I think when we get to heaven, we might be in for a surprise where it's the guys who are in the background praying and loving on people and sharing with them and doing all the work that we couldn't see because they weren't up in front of everybody who are going to be honored the most. You know? So things are always often backwards of how we view it. So it's not, you know, we might get to heaven and, yeah, Billy Graham's going to be there and all these awesome people, but it's like, oh, look at this guy. You know? I knew he was in the church, but I never knew he was doing this. Like, he was feeding the homeless, and he was doing this and that. You know, he wasn't doing it to be seen, but basically it's saying these people are going to be honored in heaven. All right, and 25 to 28. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. For now, you are the body of Christ and the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And basically, it's saying that we all go through stuff together. So, if you have a headache, you know, and your head's pounding, or your leg's going to be like, oh, suck it up, we're going to go on a hike anyways. No, if your head's just like pounding, your whole body's going to be like, we need to rest, so we're going to rest. At the same time, say you have a football player, if he throws like, you know, the winning pass, is his left arm going to be like, oh, you didn't use me, what the heck? Like, what the heck, right arm? Yeah, you throw like a girl. No, I mean, the whole body is going to celebrate. And it's the same with us. I mean, I remember talking about Pete again, Pete LaJoy. His son, Jake, had passed several years ago. He was 25, I think. And he had open heart surgery. And he didn't make it. And I just remember just going to the memorial, and there were so many people there who he had touched. He did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, just, you know, emailing people all the time, just instant messaging them and stuff like that, just encouraging them. And it was such a time of pain for the whole church. And I just remember that we were all suffering together. We all felt it. And at the same time, there's moments where, you know, something awesome happens, and we all get to experience that together as well. So as a body, we all experience things together. We're not separate from one another. We're all part of one body. So 29 through 31. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So obviously to answer all these questions, no, not everybody's a prophet, not everybody's a teacher, not everybody's this and that. We all have our unique gifts, but it's beautiful because we get to come together with different ministries, different things that we're doing, and we're still one body as a church. You know, we're not all going to be used the same way. But that's kind of cool because I get to look forward to God. I'm like, God, how are you going to use me? God, I just pray that you'd use me in this way or that way. And just keep your eyes open because God's always doing stuff around you. And you just got to, you know, sometimes step out in faith. You know, just be listening for God and what he's showing you to do. And Look at your talents. What can you do? You know, I'm sure everybody in here has a different talent than me, you know, and from one another. So, and it says, desire the best gifts. It's also cool that you can pray for gifts. You know, you can pray for the gift of teaching, or, you know, for the gift of evangelism, the gift of faith, stuff like that. You can pray for that, you know. And obviously God gives as He wills, but it's cool that you can desire these things. But Paul will show us a more excellent way, and that's in the next chapter. So, which is the Love chapter, and it's going to be taught by Tom, or Dr. Love. So, Paul is Dr. Love, but, yeah, so I mean, any questions about the gifts, or anything? It'll be touched again in chapter 14, but if you guys have questions, no? Okay, cool. Let's pray.